and think about what those words say and what those words mean. Father, thank you for the gift of motherhood and the incredible blessing that mothers are to each of us. We know you have chosen these amazing women and placed them in our lives to love, nurture, and guide us. Whether they're birth mothers, stepmothers, adopted mothers, grandmothers, or mother figures, their care reflects your own sacrificial and comforting love. Today, I lift up every mom. Give them strength when they're weary, joy in the little moments, mercy through your power, and confidence in the role you've given them. Let them know how deeply they're appreciated and loved by you, Lord, and by their families. I also pray for those who find this day difficult. Comfort those grieving the loss of a mother, longing to become one, or missing a child. Comfort those struggling to blend a family, or those who are facing the pain of a delayed or failed adoption. Surround every mom who carries a heavy heart with your peace and remind them of your constant presence. Thank you, Lord, for your faithful love, a love that comforts us like a mother comforts her child. May we commit ourselves to honoring, loving, and protecting the mothers in our lives as we celebrate and cherish them today and always. So I thought that was very appropriate for the day. And let's have a word of prayer before we start, and then we'll get into our message. Life shine. All right, so this is geared towards guys today. So wives, moms, you can sit back and just relax because I'm not preaching at you, preaching at the guys. And just so you know, this doesn't let up because in Father's Day, I preach to the guys again because I don't know. I have found in my years of teaching and preaching, guys need it more than girls. It's true. I mean, when you have a ladies' Bible study, no problem getting the ladies to show up. But if you have like a Saturday morning breakfast for the guys, not so much. But, you know, make your wife shine. That doesn't mean you get some Simon eyes and, you know, give her a good rub down or anything, although she may appreciate that. I don't know. But, and using that title, we're talking about making her a special person, more special than she already is. You know, in sports, we talk about some teams that have gone from worst to first. You know, they had a terrible season, and then for whatever reasons, whether a management change or a philosophical change, the next year, they're first place. And so we need to think in terms of taking our wives and putting them first. And we do that, first of all, well, in one respect, with good leadership. Okay, we look at the leadership of our nation. Now, we're not going to get political here, so we're just making some points. Good leadership involves our nation. It involves our church, and it also involves our homes. For some of us, we have a good marriage. Others may be not as good as we'd like it, but my message is designed to make your marriage better, and most of all, to make your wife shine. All right, so let's see. Janice, you're taking notes. You have to know your audience, you know. So, you know, these 4 points are for the ladies to think about and so forth. And then at the end, I have 4 points for the guys. They're short, 4 words, you know, guy size, so you can remember them. Okay, so first of all, in making your wife shine, strive for a higher purpose. Strive for a higher purpose. And so when we say this, of course, we're thinking of living to the glory of God, whether it is our house, our dog. You know, we're not living like the Cleavers back in the 50s or anything, but We're living for the glory of God, trying to make our home the best, whether it's our wife, our kids, no matter what the situation is. And it starts with the guy in charge. That's you. We had a speaker one time that said, the speed of the boss is the speed of the gang. And how you function, Dad, in that home is going to have a lot to do with what happens to the rest of the family. Whether it's where you go on vacation, where you eat out, how you budget your time at home, any of those things are going to be somewhat dictated by what Dad does or what Dad decides. Now, it tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that we are created unto good works. So God's expecting us to do good works in our family. And of course, in Matthew 28, 16 to 20, he's talking about us to be his witnesses. Because indeed, someday we're going to stand before the Lord and give account of how we took care of our families, how we took care of our wife, how we took care of our kids. And so we have to be good witnesses. Paul spoke of living with the focus and determination of Greek athletes. So if you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians 9, 23 to 27 says, know ye not that ye which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, but one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And so in that regard, we are sometimes the preacher that our family hears, not just in a pulpit or anything else, but that everyday testimony that they see all the time. Now, you got to get your wife together on this, okay? If you've got a dad thinking one thing and a wife thinking something else, it's not going to work. You know, we use this expression all the time, and you hear it quite often, we make a good team. You and your wife need to make a good team. You're working together. Your teammates, as it were. And the Bible says we need to edify or lift up one another. Sometimes you need to lift up your wife. Sometimes she needs to lift up you. Give your wife the gift of a good church. Now, you're here today, so again, it's kind of like preaching to the choir, but just get the idea of joining the church, serving in the church. It makes a difference. Judy and I, when we first graduated from college, we were teachers, but we also made it a point to get involved with church activities, no matter where we were. And so here we are. Join and serve, and God will see to it that your wife shines. Page two. Number two. Win her heart again and again. You know, just because, you know, you got married and it, you know, sometimes people go to a marriage counselor and they'll say, you know, have you ever told your wife that you love her? And they say, yes. And if she, you know, if she heard it once, well, you know, I'll let her know and she needs to hear it again. But, you know, it's been a while. And that's the way a lot of guys are. We don't tell our wives that we love them as often as they need to hear it. Just ask your wife. She'll tell you. God assured Abraham by repeating his covenant promises. In Genesis 12, he was to bless Abraham and his family. And so we need to reassure our wives with words of love for her. If we don't, she may feel insecure, feeling your love for her has changed. I mean, your wife is a barometer, you know, and we're not talking about hot flashes or black cohosh or any of that stuff. We're just talking about that emotional level that needs to remain steady throughout. She needs to be secure in her home, secure in her marriage. Let her know that you love her for who she is. Now, if you want to get deep into it, I could refer you to the Song of Solomon, as it refers not so much for your loving your wife, but a deep love for God. And that indeed many a husband has used. And again, not only for the love of God, but also to express their love for their wife. Now, sometimes as you go along, and here again, I make some references to our marriage just because I guess we've achieved something, 50 years, 51 in July. When our kids got old enough that we could leave them at home, we would go on what we called a stolen moment. We would just say, okay, guys, we're going to be out for a few minutes and we'll be right back. And that just gave us enough time to go down, have a little bit of fast food or whatever, sit across the table, which is something that my wife and I have done, even when we were dating. Just sit across the table and just have that communication, that conversation about what's going on, how are things going, and so forth. Now, that takes some faith on your part. We were also in a church where they did Parents Night Out, where the youth group would watch their kids and you would go out for 3 hours and, you know, kind of do that same thing. You can also get a babysitter. But like I told my wife, she wants to call and make sure everything's okay. And I tell her, the kids are fine. You need to worry about the babysitter. So that's an issue too. So your commitment to your wife is greater than your job, your sports team, or your hobby. Sometimes, guys, we just need to stop what we're doing, give some attention to our wife because she needs it. You know, the Red Sox will be there tomorrow. Whatever your hobby is, it'll be there when you get back. Whatever work you were going to take home, just put it on the side for now. Your wife needs you more than you realize. Tell her and tell her often how much you love her. And that's an important point. Number 3, serve her with Christ-like love. Now, of course, when we think of that, we think of 1 Corinthians 13. And there are a lot of words in that passage that are words for love that are not only adjectives, but verbs. So it's not only talking about what you should do, but how it should be done. You know, although I do these things, I am nothing. You're right, guys. Put yourself in the humble position of being her humble servant and let her know how much you love her. Your love is more than words when we sacrifice for her. This is a little anecdote that I found, and I'll share this with you. Mr. Smith was an amazing husband. We attended the same church, and he and his wife and 3 kids were in the college ministry I led at UCLA. I invited him and his wife to share their wisdom about marriage with our single collegians. One student asked Mrs. Smith, "What makes Mr. Smith such a godly husband?" God seared her response into my consciousness. I never once felt from him that it was a burden to serve me. Think about that. God gave himself for the church. Be your wife's best friend. You know, we're teammates, but also be her best friend. Talk, listen, and sacrifice. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration, and I can do that because he's not here. But Howard is an example of sacrifice in my eyes. Several years ago, and some of you know this, he was working for Kubota Tractor, and his wife had MS. he left that job at the age of 62 to come up here and take care of her. When he was working at Kubota Tractor, he would get her all set up for the day, and she really couldn't move on her own. So he would set her up, go to work, come back at noon, take her to the bathroom, carry her to the bathroom, take care of her needs, have lunch together, go back to work. And he did that for some time. Although the Lord took her 6 months after they arrived here, to me, Howard was an example of sacrifice. Sacrificing his job, sacrificing his time. And I think if you ever approached him or asked him about it, he would be glad to say he would do it again the same way. Now, your wife does not have MS. Yes, she does have ills and aches and pains, just like we all do. And sometimes we just need to sacrifice. And we're not asking for that much. But if you're sitting there and she says, "Honey, could you get me a glass of water?" We should be willing to do that. Not asking too much, but at the same time, it's something that is needful for her. Let your also be your wife's spiritual leader. Pray with her. Read the Bible together. Let her know that you're concerned about her spiritual life as much as you're concerned about your own. Number four, strengthen her in weakness. Philippians 2:4 says to put her interests ahead of your own. Let me read that verse to you. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Put her interests ahead of your own. Humbly serve her. Sometimes, as much as we need encouragement, your wife needs a "you can do this" attitude. You need to help her think in terms of, "What do you think, honey? Can I do this?" And be the positive catalyst in her life. And do this as opportunities to serve may arise. See your wife as a helper needing your help. Now, maybe some of you do this already, and you know, you can kind of check these things off in your mind if you do them already, but you know, things like doing the dishes or making a meal, washing the clothes, things like that that help her in her daily activities. Second, see your wife as a helper needing your help. Helpers can have a hard time saying, "No, I can't take that on." Just being a wife and a mother is a 24/7 job in and of itself. As our children were growing up, my wife served as a CFO, Chief Financial Officer, chef, purchaser, tutor to all subjects and all grades, nurse practitioner, Uber driver, cleaning company, biblical counselor, and more. Husbands think carefully about what it takes before you add more jobs to her already glittering resume. Because here's the other side of it. As much as you would encourage her to go forward, if you find she's overcommitted, help her to say no when the demands at home are high. Because after all, if you're trying to make your wife shine, light bulbs don't shine when they're burned out, and neither does your wife. All right, guys, here's your part. Okay, we gave the 4 points so Janice could write them down, and you can kind of think about that. This part is for you guys because you're only going to remember 4 words, maybe 5. So as they say in sports, you need to have some skin in the game. You need to get involved. And the first thing you need to do is have some commitment. But you say, "Well, I married my wife. I said the marriage vows." But you need to do them again and again and again every day. It takes commitment. I watched some things on Rick Pitino. Okay, his team went to not quite to the Final Four, but they did a series on Vice TV about him coming up through the ranks and so forth, and he helped St. John's this year. And he's 72 years old, and I'm thinking, well, Lord, why didn't you give me that spot? Well, the Lord knows better, because the language he uses is not the language I use. But he made some pretty good teams over his time in the past. In fact, he coached the Celtics at one time. So here's four things for you guys to remember as you make a commitment. Number one is teamwork. Okay, work with your wife on these things. It's not all her, but it's not all you either. Number two, perseverance. Keep on keeping on. You know, the Bible says it in other terms. It says, be not weary in well-doing. Keep going. Persevere. Number three, hard work. Yeah, sorry to say that sometimes marriages take some hard work. If you're going to have a winning team, it involves some hard work. And number four, be ready for adversity. Not that we want it, but sometimes the Lord puts that adversity in there to see what our marriage is made of. Are you really committed to her? Are you willing to do what it takes to make your marriage work? And so those are four things for you guys to remember. Now, as I close this 5-minute message, my question for you today is, how's your marriage? Are you making your wife shine? What can you do to make her life better? What can you do to make her better? Not just take her out for Mother's Day, but it's a daily, consistent thing that God is going to ask you to do. And if you haven't done it already, you need to bring it before the Lord and make sure that you make that commitment to Him and make that commitment to your wife. All right, let's pray.